Blog Talk Radio.
Too many.
second, as we inch closer to 1,500 shows, y'all. Not bad. Welcome. As you're ready to set the Hump Day Buffet with yours truly and the rest of the chefs here at Soul Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb, Total Music Contest LTD, and it is good to have you in the house. Tree brought to you proudly by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Brother Man Network and the Black Athlete Sports Network, given to the notion that we must take apart all the bullshit, not some, not half, but all the bullshit, and be true to the tenets of who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right here, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network as we get ready to put things together here. And, of course, riding shotgun with me, my winger on the MIG line, the bad man from the East Bay, Gabby Norris Gray. What up, G?
Oh, man, this is bigger than what we thought it was.
I heard that.
We got to do this.
Yes, sir.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq. Football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we do. So, G, now, a couple of weeks ago, you helped break this because you said that the epicenter of what we're about to hear started in Chicago in 2010, the year that the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. Now, supposedly this was supposed to be a win-win organizational move, but some folks won and some folks didn't. Please elucidate as to who did and who didn't.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Young Kyle Beach reported to the Chicago Black Organization about sexual assault. This was 2010. The Black Hawks did nothing at all.
Right.
The Blackhawks said on it. 10 years later, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews both said if they knew about it, they would have reported it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jonathan Toews is the captain of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Exactly.
As captain of any team, you're supposed to know everything about that team.
Yep.
So you're telling me you knew nothing about this,
mm-hmm.
which I think is outright right.
Yeah, that is a lie. We got Tony with us as well.
Oakwinville
mm-hmm.
leaves Chicago and goes to Florida.
Right.
DM Dan Bowman signs a Disney GM, Mr. Trevor Dayoff.
Yeah, Trevor Dayoff.
For some reason. This thing gets bigger and bigger as we go on.
Well, there's some more poison definitely that's added to this. Let me get to my other winger on the line, Tony McClain. You thought it started out like something and then it turned into something else. And now hockey has got a huge mess on its hands.
And you know, there's still more of allegations that are probably going to be coming out.
Yes.
You know, slowly but surely. This is, you know, the NFL. The NHL sort of wants to look the other way, but it's going to happen, you know, especially if you consider that it's been on for like a decade or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's exist. I guess now a couple of, I guess one other team now, there's been allegations where I guess the wives of certain players were told to basically shut up.
I have that information direct from sportsnet.ca. The wife of a former assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins AHL affiliate, which is in Pennsylvania, plans to file a sexual lawsuit against former coach Clark Donatelli, former Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins GM, and current Minnesota Wild GM Bill Guerin, the Pittsburgh Penguins organization, and co-owners Mario Lemieux, Ron Burke, and others. Aaron Scalding.
Oh, Michael, remember, I said 2 weeks ago.
She did.
It was 17, right? 17?
Yes.
All right, here's 17. Minnesota.
Yes.
Florida.
Right.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg.
Yep.
Toronto.
Yep.
Calgary.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh.
Yep. There you go.
And
six of those
have been, have either had something go on or have former members of the Blackhawks there. And of course, Mr. Chevalier, I guess, basically said the league let him down. No, your team and you.
Your team let you down, my man.
Yeah. And of course, you know, he's doing his best, you know, Colonel,
Sergeant Schultz.
I knew nothing.
That's right.
But no, this is, you know, it's going to be, you know. It may take a while, but you do get the feeling that there's a house of cards ready to collapse.
They can't get around this, Tony.
You've got basically almost a third of the teams in the league that are somewhat being implicated in this. And
yes,
God knows. Imagine what now we see in the Miami. Remember, a lot of this stuff goes back to juniors, so it goes back to that whole passing couch thing that you talked about last week. I mean,
I believe that the numbers are double or triple in juniors.
I know T, Gary, we have to be able to prove what we already know. We know there may be more teams, but based on the information that's come out now, this is how the Pittsburgh side of it comes in. Erin Scalby, who was the wife of a player, were planning to hold a press conference on Zoom Tuesday to detail the allegations, but they postponed it after what they said is another development. A second woman who detailed a similar assault by Donatelli on a different date and different time in a different location has retained a law firm. The legal team is quickly moving to investigate the facts, et cetera, et cetera. So Scalby's lawsuit will state that sexual abuse took place on a team road trip to Providence, Rhode Island on November 11th, 2018. The lawsuit also says that the team's handling of the incident included former assistant coach Jared Scalby, her husband, being told to shut the fuck up, and Aaron being called a liar and never being interviewed as part of the team's investigation. We know now that the Penguins are in this as well. But we also know, if we can go back to where Calgary got it mixed up in all this shit, Akim Aliyu, who was the Calgary player who was involved in all of this, he now gains even more light because his representative said that the NHL did not reach out to him after the conclusion of the Peters investigation. Now, that was the one where this cocksucker from Calgary had been short-circuiting the career of Aliyu and others because he didn't come across like he wanted to. And remember, Aliyu was with Chicago. He was a member of the Blackhawks when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. He just wasn't brought up to the big club. And we know Dustin Byfuglien emerged as a star from that Stanley Cup playoffs. But Aliyu was shipped off to Calgary, and everything shifted from there as his career was curtailed for 9 years from the time he was in juniors until this story came out. Which leads us to a bigger story, gentlemen, because now the story is, okay, you had years to solve this problem. Why did you hesitate?
10 years.
Or why did you, exactly, why did you stop or not do anything at all to resolve this?
Oh, well, again, they just, you know, like you see with a lot of things, well, this isn't the right time for this now. This isn't the right time for this now. But
yep.
He, you know, what kind of excuse is that? And also, just to piggyback a little bit on Gary, yes,
mm-hmm.
I know you have to have proof of teeth. Here's the thing. You know, in regards to sexual assault, again, what must be brought out is that it's not about the sex. It's more about
nope.
control
oh.
and power.
That's
how
right.
much more
mm-hmm.
control, how much more control and power can you have in the sense with the juniors, because
mm-hmm.
you've got basically grown ass men that are
yeah.
you know, holding the lives of young boys in their hand, literally and figuratively. It's no different, you know, it's basically an on ice version of what we saw happen with the U.S. Gymnast Federation.
That's
what
right.
you saw happen,
it's exactly
what
that.
You saw happen, what you saw happen at Michigan State, and also,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we've seen over the years, what we've learned that goes on in the sense with the AAU basketball.
Yes.
The one parallels in all of them, older men in positions of authority over
yep.
younger males and females. And see, again, it doesn't matter if it's all male or all female. It's all about, you know, the domination.
Yes. And the other aspect of this that they don't want to talk about. No,
guess
we know
what?
It's not happening just in America, obviously. I don't doubt that, but what
America,
I'm talking about.
A tennis player, number one in China, right?
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister, the assistant prime minister.
Yep.
Played with her and told her, if you don't service me, you ain't playing.
Yeah. Well, we know this is an extension of the casting couch. But the aspect pertaining to this particular incident has to do with the fact now that sexual assault allegations have been brought up in, as you like to say, not one, not two, but at least three different organizations. You know, Chicago, Calgary, and now Pittsburgh. You know, now Toronto, the person got fired because of information that was leaked out by Kim Aliyu that was proven to be true when he dropped down about what was done to him in Calgary. Now, it wasn't like he got the casting couch treatment, but he got the politics treatment. If you don't do what we want you to do, you'll choke your playing time. And without ice time, you can't get nice time. You can't get the exposure you need to have somebody say, all right, let's send Gary up to the big club. No. If you're not getting any type of participation on the ice, that's just as bad as if he offers, you can get all of this if you sleep with me. It's the same political vice that they're trying to tighten on your ass. And this is a direct reflection on the affiliates in the juniors and the lower leagues. This was an American Hockey League situation as the Scranton Wilkes Bar franchise is the affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. But we know it was an affiliate of the Calgary Flames, which led to Aliyu being able to drop down and how his career was pretty much marshaled and pocketed in as pretty much done for 9 years. This happened to him when he was 20, and it didn't come out, or he decided not to say anything about it until he was 29. He was just full of bullshit. So there's a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of way of sidebars where all of this can lead. Now, you think everybody else might have been paying just a little bit of attention. But see, as soon as you say Pittsburgh Penguins, you're saying Mario Lemieux. And they say,
oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. So if Lemieux is there, it don't matter whether he's speaking in English or French. Somebody fucked up. What happened? And that's what you'll want to know. And when it does come out, it'll be long after the damage is done. Gary Bettman spoke last week, but apparently he didn't get the message either, because now this is all still leaking out. And what are you going to do? You're going to say that this woman's a liar because of what happened? No, they can't do anything like that. If two people are now coming out in Pittsburgh about this, the lawsuit would still be active. And there's going to be problems with this, because now the Penguins are going to say, all right, well, you know, how about we do arbitration instead of a jury trial? Well, if you do arbitration, you've already seceded to the notion that you fucking told a lie or whatever you did was wrong. So how can you secede and say, all right, well, we'll deal with arbitration? Now you're going to have some other judge try to cover for your ass and say, well, we won't do anything now. We got Radio Reggie in the mix as well. Reggie, what's going on? Can you hear us?
Well, yes. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
First of all, peace and blessing, Deacons for Defensive Justice. Thank you for all that you do and the struggle and the fight. Number one, prayers goes out to the victim of the hit-and-run vehicle manslaughter.
Yeah,
the individual formerly known as
the Raider.
I mean, I don't know when these athletes are going to understand. They have Uber, yeah, Lyft, and his girlfriend. I don't know what the ham sandwich she was thinking about. You know, she was so inebriated that she let him drive at over 150 to 60 miles an hour.
150 miles an hour, yes.
And those new Corvettes are like Formula One racing cars.
Yeah,
I'm sure he couldn't handle it. You know, he just got a new toy and driving crazy like that. You can imagine the impact of that car.
At 20, this is the thing.
Where is it?
Where is this man? Where is the 23, 22 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Your mama
says, "Hey, you need to
correct direction."
Well, see, in all due respect, guys, I remember when I was 20 and 21 years old, and I made mistakes. I'm not trying to condone what he said. But, you know, I got to say, man, we all are doing second quarterback, Monday morning quarterbacking. And, again, I'm not condoning what the kid did, but I remember I had a 1981 Trans Am, and I was just 24 years old. And within 3 months, I had minus 13 points on my driver's license. And I was doing crazy shit. So, you know, I'm not, again, condoning, but I understand how you feel. No, as I say, Gary, you know, when we was in our younger years, we all made mistakes. Unfortunately, this is a pro athlete, and what he did is magnified 10 times. You know, so I'm just saying this is a hard lesson that he's learning, and unfortunately, it's going to affect the rest of his life, and he got to deal with that.
In California, they're going to put you on probation.
Well, he killed, and a dog died too. So you know they're really going to hit him with that.
Once the dog died, that was it. They're going to give him time.
I'm not trying to be funny when I say that.
I'm not trying to be funny either. But let me say this since we went in this direction. Look, Dante Stallworth, when he had to go to jail, he went to jail because some idiot tried to cross the road. And it was a six-lane highway. And really, I can't fault him for that because there was no he had no damn business being out there in the first fucking place. Dante did his time, and that was the wrap. But you got this brother going 156 miles in a Corvette. He hit a RAV4. I don't know if anybody knows much about Toyotas, but one thing, the RAV4.
Yeah, they're small. They ain't the biggest truck in the world, SUV.
Not built as well as the others. They actually have a Pinto factor in their car. And you know what that happened to those cars back then in the day. The car burst into flames, pretty much sealing the fate of the person in the car. And, of course, when Lassie died, that shit was all over. They're going to throw the book in his black ass.
You better believe it. You know, but I'll say the same thing I said before. Being in your early 20s, you are going to make mistakes. And I'm just saying that this is something that he's going to have to live with the rest of his life.
Well,
and also financially, that victim family is going to come after him financially. So what little bit of money
he
got saved
up.
He won't
have it. He won't have anything.
Still, they going whatever money he got, you know, he can hang it up. They going to come after him.
Listen, whatever bonus money he had, if he hasn't spent it already, they'll sue for that. That's a given.
Thank you.
The long and short of this now is that he's gone. You know, he can't say anything about it. This is a wrap. And because he is gone, this magnifies the situation even more so. Because now the Raiders went from the focus being on Gruden, the focus being on stuff they had done with people connected with him in the organization, and now it's all crystallized into rugs. And that's what they'll do. They will bury his black ass, rightfully so for stupidity, but somebody's life has ended. And if you throw the dog in, that's an extra 10 years easy. So Mr. Ruggs will probably see at least 10 years behind bars. It'll pretty much kill whatever opportunity he would have had to make a living as a professional athlete. And Tony, I think what bothers me even more about this is the fact that these motherfuckers know better. You know?
Yeah, it's not like he
was operating in a vacuum.
See, that's the thing. See, and I understand what Reggie's saying, but see, the thing is, he has, you know, there are more ways for him. This was an avoidable situation, especially because of him being an athlete. Now again, I'm not saying this that he should be punished more because he's an athlete, but see, the thing is, because of his stature as an athlete, there are more cautionary flags out there. Being a damn adult should be a red flag. But the thing is, when you come into the league, they tell you you have those rookie seminars, mentors, you have other players on the team. Now, and if you can indulge me for a quick second,
please.
The Raiders are sort of like a lot of the teams in the NFL. In the, say what you want about the badass Raiders back in the day, but the thing was, there was always a mentor there. There was always somebody. There was always, Howie Long always, spoke about when he got to the Raiders, you already had guys like, Matt Millen and Reggie McKenzie and what have you that were better.
Otis Istrom.
But no, he didn't go back that far. But see, what I'm saying is with a lot of these teams now in the NFL and in a lot of these leagues overall, you don't have that quote-unquote grizzled veteran. I mean, to a certain extent, Derek Carr is the quote-unquote grizzled veteran on that team.
That's true.
He's trying to find his way. Exactly. And see, that's the thing. Now, again, this is not to justify, but see, again, because there are, look, anything and everything you do is going to be scrutinized. And you cannot call, you cannot play, you literally can't play the Shaggy game when something like this happens. And again, like you said,
Uber, Lyft, you know, hey man, I'm just, you know, take me home because I'm really staunch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, again, it was an avoidable situation.
Yes, it was.
That's the
whole. Exactly.
It was an avoidable mm-hmm. situation, and see, you know, as much as we know that he's going to get black time, and they're going to make him a victim. And you know, Mike, of course, the whole focus on the Raiders now is going to be on this guy as opposed to anything that can sort of turn folks away from the racism, they'll do that. And see, it gives them the best of both worlds, because if they can make the target a black man,
mm-hmm.
all the more reason. So,
a black male.
Yeah, it literally hits all the four. It hits all the four food groups for a story, a scandalous
yes.
type story, and that
mm-hmm.
and so I'm, you know, God forgive me, and again, you know, God, you know, bless the family, you know, that, you know, he was talking about family, but the thing that gets me is that, again, it was avoidable. It's an avoidable thing.
Right.
It makes, put it this way. It makes, not that you needed more perspective. I mean, if you need depth to put things in perspective, that speaks more about you than anything else. But it speaks volumes when you've got Odell Beckham apparently has a shitload of time to tape every game, apparently.
Yeah.
And nobody here is a Baker Mayfield fan, mind you, but it's just it just shows you where some of the silliness comes from.
That's right.
Here. It's crazy. It's
But the sad thing about it is that, right, but the sad thing about it is that the NFL is a sweat league, and we talked about that.
The
old veterans are gone, and look how they mistreat the old players that's been out of the league 5 and 6, 7 years, and don't get me started on what he did to John Mackey. And if you're real old, they're waiting for your ass to die off. But, you know, and again, I'm not condoling the young man in the accident that happened deaf. But like I said, I remember
how I messed up
when I was in my 20s.
No, I got to say it. This motherfucker was stupid. I'm sorry. Fuck that other noise and whatnot. This fucker was stupid.
Yeah.
He gets in a fucking car, and just like you all mentioned, there's Uber, there's Lyft, there's limo.
Yeah.
There's all kind of, if he really wanted to be super fly and all this stupid shit, he could have took a cab or limo or Uber to the place, to the club, and got one to take him back home.
That would have been fly because
he could get as lit as he wanted to be, and he'll get home safe. Instead of putting somebody's life at risk, getting behind the wheel of a fucking car.
And his own. And see, again, it's all avoidable. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But
what tells me, he had a bigger problem than playing football. Obviously, he had some kind of abusive problem. I don't know if it was liquor or
It all goes together. It all goes together.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Because, like I said, I understand. I get it, you know. But see, there has to be an accountability factor.
I agree with that. You know, but we
money and even if no one got killed, what's the fact that you make that decision?
But you know, T, what's so unreal to me is that we hold athletes to a higher standard than a former president that tried to overthrow the country and 4 or 5 cops got killed. That bastard was walking around free. You know, that's amazing.
I agree with you. But I'm not saying negativity.
But I'm talking about as society.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing to me.
That would be a more suitable target for them than a bunch of motherfuckers who try to overthrow the country in a coup. We know this. We've talked about it several times on all of our shows. But when we weigh
white power,
here,
buddy. Yeah. White defense and white power, don't forget it.
The common denominator in all of this was a stupid motherfucker making a stupid decision that took two lives away. Because he killed the woman and he killed the dog. So you know he'll get twice for the
girlfriend.
It's all
they could have killed his girlfriend in the car.
All that.
She lucky she walked
through
the unscathed. You're lucky.
And let's remember something. He came from Alabama. He was a star at Alabama. And we already know the kind of horse shit that Nick Saban runs down there. So that mindset is definitely prevalent when Alabama guys get here. You know, now, for them, luckily, it has never manifested, at least not to my knowledge, in somebody being in a tragic situation where they lose their life. But this is what happens when you're in a high-profile program where there's access because the coach thinks he's king shit and uses the same control that Gary's talking about to say, well, you know, what can we do for this guy? Well, he's one of my guys. Can you hook him up? Now, if that had been one of those deals where he got picked up for DUI and nobody got hurt, and he would have caught some flack, and it would have went over soon because, again, he's one of somebody's guys. Gary, you're right there. Even though they're not in Oakland, this is Raiders stuff, and I know the Raiders definitely are still a current subject. How did they handle this when their word first came out about Ruggs?
Well, they tried to cover up. That's what they tried to do.
Really? They tried to cover it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, Gary. Yeah, old Raiders never die, huh?
No. They tried to cover it up.
How in the ham sandwich did they try to cover it up? I got to hear this. How did they try to cover it up?
WFAN, New York.
How the hell they try to cover that up? I still can't get that.
Well, I can see part of what Gary's talking about because the epicenter of the NFL is on Park Avenue. And the media spin on certain things would come from Park Avenue. And I think the fact that they held off on this for as long as they did before they gave the details out, that was another one. Their legal department was probably running through all of this because they wanted to see, just like Tony used to say when he was working for the ratings company, what would be the factor of exposure.
The Raiders are one two games since today, Michael. The Raiders are one two games since Chucky left, okay?
Yes, they are.
They were pumping this up. Oh, we got a good team now because Chucky's gone.
Right.
And then this
definitely puts the brakes on it. We got the professor in the mix. And professor, first of all, good evening to everybody. Excuse my manners. But secondly, you know, we cannot dismiss the fact that somebody did more than just make a bad decision here. You know, I've driven a few cars in my day, and there are some of them which would definitely, like, shake my corpuscles all up just from the sheer turning the key and running shit. But you know you've got to be under control when you're under the wheel, regardless of whether you're driving a 4-cylinder, 8-cylinder, truck, whatever the fuck it is. You know, it's not a damn toy, and it's not to be messed with. So in hearing what I hear, I feel sympathy, but I also feel anguish because I know this boy done fucked his shit
Michael,
for the rest of his life.
See, this is where I lose it. How can you go 150 bucks? How do you do that?
That's right.
Hit the celebrator
how do you do that
from
even
0
sober?
To 60. Hit the celebrator.
How do you do that even sober? That's bullshit. Easy. You're right. No. Nevada has a lot of open road. So for somebody to rev it up and whatnot, I can see them doing that. I can't see them doing that behind under the influence of alcohol, though. That's just fucking stupid. And
Mike, I had a 1981 Trans Am Turbo Charge, and I did the dumbest thing ever. I drag raced with another guy on Chamon Avenue. I hit it and from 0 to about 80 miles an hour in less than 6 seconds. Oh, yeah. So, and that was 1981. That's why I said being a young, stupid ass at 24 years old doing that stupid shit, I can imagine a young man with money and a high-powered rocket that he was driving, you could do that.
But you,
I'm not justifying it, but I can understand.
You lucked up. Your actions didn't cost
anybody. I did, because I could have killed somebody. You know, seriously, I could have killed somebody.
This guy killed someone, and he killed a dog. And they won't ever let him forget that. You can forget that shit. Professor, what do you think?
Go ahead, Professor. Let me hear it. Go ahead, Professor.
I would say you were fortunate that a tree didn't jump out and hit both of y'all.
Hey, Professor, I know you did something crazy in your 20s now. Come on, Professor. You got
a
story.
No, see, when I was a kid, one Wednesday afternoon, it was raining, and we had this curve about a mile from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hear these, you know, we could, you know, you're out in the country. You know the cars as they go by. And on this one particular day, we heard this car. And for whatever reason, several people from the community, as that car went down the road, got in the vehicles and went down towards the curb. We did too. I went with my uncle because he said, them damn fools going to get killed.
Yep.
Well, they did.
Mm-hmm.
There was a the front wheel of the car on the passenger side was about 100 yards out in the cornfield.
No,
wasn't no guessing which way it went. And see, think about, I don't even know what kind of car this young man was driving, and I ain't saying this because he was going to come later.
It was a Corvette, Fred.
If he was driving a moped, you don't do it. Mm-hmm. Something you just don't do.
Right. I agree.
Think about it. You're on a public highway. You're not at Bowman Gray Stadium where they have we actually have a raceway.
Yeah.
You're not at the Indy 500.
Rockingham.
You're not at Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
Places that are made for those. I mean, United Brickyard. So places that are made for that. The streets of Motown are made for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And every time you see some idiot, because I see, the road come going towards my house or my neighborhood is a 5-lane road, two in, two out, and a turning lane. And I've seen people coming up behind traffic, and instead of waiting the traffic to clear, like everybody, all the normal people. These fools don't just go into the center lane. They go over to the fourth lane and occupy the part of the center lane to pass traffic. But guess what? Guess what mysteriously happens? You get to the light. And guess who's sitting right there? That same idiot that just passed you, almost on two wheels. And see, these people, I have done 95 on 95 myself, so I can't say I'm totally innocent. But good.
No. My professor needs to get to a Winston Brand football game.
Think about all that traffic going in the same direction. And I take into account that, if I'm in the fast lane, you've been to Germany, Mike, and you know about driving on the Autobahn. If you're in the left lane and the accelerator's not on the floor, you're supposed to move to the right.
You are booking. As a matter of fact, I'll take that even further, Fred. When you're on the Autobahn, the only time you should be afraid is if you hear somebody beeping their horn. That means they're in the stress. That's exactly the kind of mindset that killed Drazen Petrovic when he was on the Autobahn. Because you only use your horn when you're in really serious trouble. You use your flashers to get where you got to get. Anybody knows if they're driving fast, if a faster car comes by, you better let them get the fuck out the way and take off behind you so you're done. And that's an unspoken rule of the road over there. But having said that, this brings us back to what this kid did. Excuse me. And why he did it. The mindset must change. Yes, you got your money. Yeah, we're happy you make the paper. But why do you have to flaunt what you got when you get out? Now, we know a Corvette is a pretty nice machine. And if you're properly schooled in how to handle it, you know how to drive, it can be an enjoyable ride. It can definitely get you from point A to B in a relatively quick amount of time. But I know you have one drink, you ain't driving that Corvette and flooring it. You have two drinks, you ain't got no business behind the motherfucking wheel. And we see this lack of judgment in this kid whose life is ruined now because he fucked up one time. And we've all fucked up. But the debt and the price we had to pay for it varies. This price is irrevocable. He's going to do time. He's going to lose his stature. He's going to lose whatever money and hopes and dreams he had, because they're going to definitely take them, especially after he killed the dog. And the NFL, instead of they'll bury it because they don't want to talk about it, because as Gary was saying, the Raiders have won two in a row. Had they lost two in a row, so what? And of course, Urban Meyer, he don't care, because the story was taken off him when it went somewhere else. Doesn't mean he can't come back, but as long as the suspects are black male, we'll be straddled with this for weeks. People will be talking morality and all this other horse shit when we know some of them are they're not even worth their words. But they give them the license to do so.
I disagree with you, Mike, because the news came out today about Aaron Rodgers testing positive. This is about the betting line and money. And
Aaron Rodgers, that's all they've been talking about, Aaron Rodgers and the money line. Cam Newton
got the vaccine.
If Washington don't sign him,
ain't nobody going to sign him. If Ron Rivera, bad team quarterback, he ain't trying to hang it up.
And he played four games this game.
That's right.
NFL don't have a policy, because they go through the players' union with Waldorf in there. They still don't have a policy.
They go through the players. That means they don't have a policy. You know. Demaurice Smith is as moist as a fucking Duncan Hines cake. Anything he says won't have any stick-to-itiveness in the light of day. Because in many ways, the scandal that happened with the hockey teams is about the fact that the union did not protect their players. If we go back to 2010 and what happened there, whatever the kid's name was who had to suck whoever's dick, he went to the union and said something. He chose not to do it. He made a fucked up decision in the same way that Ruggs made a fucked up decision. You know, he could have said this was a sexual harassment case. And he could have gone to the union and said, this motherfucker's trying to do shit to me. He chose not to, because he told him, if you don't suck my dick, you don't get to play. Now, it's ironic that the Stanley Cup, Brad Aldridge's name has been covered over. He's not considered
part of the organization
that won the cup. But yeah, but the whole point was, this put it all out on Front Street, and now with this coming out of Pittsburgh, we can speculate fairly that there is an ongoing issue with coaches in the AHL and the other minor unions or minor leagues, where there is a pay-for-lay system. If you don't give up some ass, you don't get on the ice. Or if you don't get on if you don't give up some ass, or your wife don't give up some ass, or somebody don't give up no ass, you don't play. Simple as that.
That's like a new form of slavery. That's what they did back in the slave days.
These are three different organizations now. Toronto, Calgary, Chicago, and now Pittsburgh. That makes four, at least. And Gary talked about at least three others when he first broke this. So we know they're paying attention to this. What they don't want is the league lights of everybody being exposed to it, because hockey has struggled to get itself normalized into being open for business with everybody across above the border. It's Canada. They don't care. You know, that's in-house. But down below in the lower 48, it matters. And they look like they had a winning formula, and now all that is in jeopardy because of this scandal that was unearthed by us.
Well, you know, I think you also might be inside thing, because what happened this summer? They signed the contract with ESPN, right?
That's true.
That's big money. So why would you see the I have a real rush about this because ESPN is burning. I just got a bad
feeling
about this.
Well, Gary, let's go to the mouse's to the home of the mouse first. And that's source. Tony, were you there when the NHL was still on, or was this after the contract?
Oh no, I was there, I think the last year. The last
okay.
year I had, the last year when they had the work stoppage. That's what
right.
really but I will say that, well, see, it's weird.
What were they saying about their hockey product?
Depends on yes.
you know, I hate to say it, yeah, because the thing was, I've always said they became full of themselves, and the thing was they felt that they felt that in a sense that giving up hockey wasn't going to really be that big of a big of a thing, and early
right.
on it really wasn't. And see, they took it to the extreme. They would very rarely show highlights of stuff,
yes.
you know. And see, they got rid of big. You know, they remember. Much like how they're doing now, you know, I can't say they're doing what they're doing now is what they did before, because they basically
right.
have like 1,000 games. You know, they basically have already said they're doing 1,000 games this year, networking. But they basically did everything to basically blackball the NHL. Now, as much as I don't know how much of a hand they may have had in this, because remember, they all but ignored the NHL for the longest time. So years ago, would there probably be somebody within the ranks there that maybe knew of it? Sure.
Right.
I'm sure of that. But I think because they had put hockey on such a low, you know, they looked down on hockey at such a low level. I just think they didn't have the main hand on it like
right.
how these teams did. I think again, there's no doubt that I think the hockey media, you know, the movers and shakers in the hockey
yeah.
world knew of this,
mm-hmm.
and I think now everyone is just sort of, you know, trying to sort of say,
yes.
you know, again, tracking, and they're also trying to, bury the story again, even more so.
Yes,
but yeah, it's crazy because see, whenever stuff like this happens, I always think, what kind of stuff is going on in some of these other leagues or the lower leagues?
That's
because,
right.
see, again, it's more so about on the lower level than the professional.
Yes,
I mean, Lord,
is.
I think
yes.
because, again, it's about an authoritarian figure and younger males and females. That's the common
yes.
thread here.
Yeah,
the Chicago incident
started with the minor leagues. The Calgary incident started with the minor leagues. The Pittsburgh incident started with the minor leagues. And when Akeem Olivier spoke of how fucked up some of the people in the league were, he got the guy in Toronto fired because Toronto was letting it slide, and they didn't say anything about it. And shoveled they off over in Winnipeg.
If you remember when the Toronto thing came about a few years back, this was this had to do with the Junior. So
yeah,
it's again. I don't like this. I don't like to try and say, oh, it's happening everywhere. But I think in some instances it's going on. But see,
it's more
whether it's entertainment, whether it's politics.
Yeah.
Whether it's whatever, it's definitely going on. Especially in you know, we always hear stories in regards to some of these interns that work for that work in like Congress or what have you, and all those other things. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, we've got a of degenerates. You know, it's no, ain't no real nice way of saying it.
No, that's exactly right. It is. There is a degenerate factor to this. To go back to what Reggie said, it's like, okay, we can recognize that we all did stupid shit, but at what cost? Were we lucky enough that our actions did not cost a life? I would say across the board, yes. You know,
we didn't get caught. That's the thing. You didn't get caught.
Caught is part of it as well. But this is different because we've got this fishbowl of media all swirling around us now. There are a lot of young people that are still totally clueless. They don't get it. And this is not a June bug trying to borrow money or any of this other shit. This was their own actions causing and magnifying a problem that would have been minimized if homeboy's ego wasn't getting the better of him. Now, you drive that Corvette, everybody sees you got a nice car, whoop-dee-doo, hooray for you, you know. And if you get through a night without the cops trying to stop you because you're in a fancy car, even better. But having said all of that, it still comes back to the fact that you acted like a fucking moron doing what you did and you got somebody killed. And when this comes out, there's no way to sugarcoat it. And you know those motherfuckers at the mouse, they will lambaste your black ass, and they will talk about you till the cows come fucking home. And you are powerless to say or do anything against them.
And based on current evidence, you should be lambasted because you're too damn stupid.
That's right. I'd arrest you for felony stupidity. That's real talk. You know, and then you cost somebody their life. Yeah. No.
Going back to what we were saying before, you're on a public highway. People are not, you know, it's not mandatory that people get out of your way instantly anyway, but it's not your highway. Those roads are not made for that.
I agree.
Think about it. We were talking a few months ago about one Tiger Woods and him being – Tiger Woods wound up in the woods. How?
Mm-hmm.
Too damn fast on the wrong kind of road.
That's right.
And see, if you follow racing, the tracks are made for that kind of speed. There are coatings on those that grip that help the tires grip. You got a car that's going to dip and all these other. All these other things come into play in your favor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Personally, didn't you all say he was driving a Corvette?
Yeah, a new one. A new one.
It don't matter. Corvettes rank among the biggest pieces of crap ever made. Why? Because when you get in, you're sitting on the floor with
That's
a pillow behind. You know, there's no comfortable way to drive those things because you're sitting down on the floor. You know, you got to extend your leg. All kinds of stuff is wrong with those, and because of the low silhouette, people may or may not see you coming. And going at those speeds, they didn't. That poor lady probably never knew what hit her.
That's true.
If she was in the lane, it's her lane until she gets out of it, or you go around her.
Yep.
And see, those are kind of things he's gonna face when he ends up his ignorant behind in court.
Yep.
What school did he go to?
Alabama.
University of Tuscaloosa.
Nick Saban, you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that explains a lot too. But see, no. One of the problems that some of these big programs, especially with young black men, they are kept in line, and they're kept in things, stuff that we did and couldn't get away with, guys say over it. Wake Forest, the good Baptist school.
Yeah,
they were more strict than most of them. But then you talk because I used to talk to Dee Hardison and several others who played at Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The nicest way, because I don't say too much about L2 because I think the guy had problems and still got them, but they covered up for the stupid stuff he did.
Should the Giants cover it up? The Giants covered up a lot of stuff he did.
They all cover it up for him. The league.
Yeah. And they don't need him no more.
The ACC, Carolina, some of the stuff that man did, he probably should be in jail.
That's true.
And, everybody was so about how rough and tumble he was, and think about it. If you ever see him being interviewed about how he played, he just decided to do stuff. They covered up when he messed up, and if he didn't get to the quarterback, nobody was ever called for holding against him either. But that's another story for another day. But see, when you let things like that get out of hand with one guy, there's always, quote, at least one or two on every team. They usually play something like linebacker, weak.
Tony, here's something I got to throw into the pot because of what Fred just said. Now, this takes even more shine off the World Series, in spite of the fact that, it's probably one of the better ones we've seen in the last couple of years, but nobody's really making any noise about it.
There was the World Series this year?
Hey, T, I think that ball still traveled on the railroad track last night.
it hit the back of my head this afternoon about 3:30 while I was talking.
You sure that wasn't Dusty Baker saying, "Damn it!"
it clearly was a baseball. It clearly was a baseball.
I thought it might have been Dusty Baker saying, "Not again. Oh, not again."
Yeah. But it's
my God, guys.
I
am not happy with the Atlanta Braves organization.
Yeah, they went on the road last night and did the chop. What does that tell you?
I'm trying to think it. Look, guys. There's a reason for this, and it needs to stop right now.
Good luck.
Well, as long as you're
in the air raids and get his ETs home on Monday night, get
his ETs to the same thing. You're going to see plenty of it on Monday night.
The only good thing that comes out of this is that, it speaks more for his legacy, and also, kudos to Ronnie Washington finally getting his first ring after 100 years of baseball
as a third base coach. Well, at least he's still in baseball. God bless.
But remember, he's still the only man to take the Texas Rangers to the World Series back to back.
That's exactly right. And that hurt when they couldn't take it over. The damn Cardinals hitting them home runs in the ninth. Damn, that still stings me. Oh, God, I couldn't believe it.
We got to remember, if Ron Washington hadn't been called out for cocaine usage, you would have had no story. You know,
and cheating on his wife. Don't forget that story. Cheating on his wife. They really rolled with that.
But that fishbowl brought it all out, and Ron Washington had to take the brunt of the damage of it. Having said all of that now, well, any news is good news now for Major League Baseball. They'll get whatever they want. They don't care about all that other shit. They'll bury that gladly
Unfortunately, the next bit of news that's going to come out of Major League Baseball, unfortunately, is another lockout. And look.
Why would he take that job? And that team is such disarray. This man would fire himself.
Why would he sell all the talent?
Why would they do it, Derek? They get ready to sell the talent now. Hell, they don't even know if they're going to have a stadium in a couple of years. They don't even know where they're going to be playing at unless they move to Las Vegas.
Reggie, quit starting rumors.
No, there's no rumors. Garrett can verify that. I ain't got to make it up. Garrett can verify that one.
You all are trying to say that the A's are like the Raiders?
Yes. And the facilities in Bethlehem and baseball. Yes.
Well, got
and follow up the other big road to Vegas.
Just to add to this with the baseball. Game 6 last night drew 13.96 million viewers on Fox. It was an increase.
Put it this way.
There were probably half naked pictures of Phyllis Diller that got higher ratings in some areas. I guess other than the Virginia thing, there wasn't really anything compelling nationally. So
yeah, sure.
I'm sure Atlanta and Houston had Buku ratings, but unfortunately the rest of that was my question.
Did it translate across country? Yes.
Well, put it this way. Game six was up 10% from last year's record low, but it was down 19% from the 2019 game six between the Nationals and Astros. So they've been hovering at that, 10-15%, and now they want to have a lockout. I don't know what George Washington Manfred is thinking, but if they want to finish fifth in the top four, they definitely will. You got a fan base that just doesn't, that did a shenanigan. Mm-hmm. And now you want to, your marquee event had, one of the lowest ratings in the last 15, 20 years, and you want to do a lockout. If anything, your ass is at the bargaining table saying, what do we need to do to fix this?
Yes.
Good luck.
And that's going to be, the union's going to have a big issue with all the sports apparently, because the NFL will have to re-up with the players' union, and we already know that they're compromised because of the actions and inactions of the Morris Smith. Now,
Where's Waddle?
We didn't even have to touch the hockey aspect of this yet because we never had to worry about the NHL Players Union, but now we do. Because if there's any meat in the sandwich of what we see as sexual abuse across the board in the minor leagues, that's definitely going to lead to something totally different, and that was a direction that hockey did not want to go to. And because of the exposure now, they can't just keep it in-house in some place in Swift Current or Burnaby, fucking Canada. No, now it's got to come out big time, and everybody's got to know.
The NHL is dealing with exposure. Some of it good, but a lot of it bad.
That's right. But unlike the NFL, they dealt with it. I mean, how in the ham sandwich can a Washington football team have all these sexual charges?
But how they addressed it? They're dealing with it now. There's still more to come out, though. That's
But here's my question, T. At least it took them 2 years, but they did address it. The NFL is trying to do a cover up when it comes to that email address with George Allen and the Washington team and Jewish Schneider. They're trying to cover up the owners and their emails that they write.
But this is how bad the cover up is. Kimberly, representative, said that the NHL didn't reach out to them. After he had the big press conference, after he dropped dime on everybody, they didn't say shit. And now this is a direct text from him. His name is Ben Mieselas. And he said, this is news.
Right. How long ago was that, Mike?
And
how long ago was that?
We're talking about 2 years ago. Actually, 3 years ago. I am a Kim's representative.
What forced the hand that they had to address it? What forced the hand?
Because Akemba Liu came out and he said that his career had been stifled by the fact that the coach that the team he was playing for stopped him and put out poison tongue about him so he wouldn't make any hay in the NFL or in the NHL and move up to the big club. He stayed in the minors, stuck for 9 years, not because he wasn't good enough to play at the highest level, but because he was getting politicked out of a situation. And to continue to detect that, he texted me. He says, this is news to me and not true.
The reporter found he had the balls to step up and address the issue. He had help with somebody to meet
him. No, that's not even it. His agent is saying straight up, these motherfuckers didn't say shit. He says, I'm a Kim's representative, and the National Hockey League has not been in touch with us for over a year. Also, investigating water issues of racism. A Kim experienced his entire career in the NHL and not limited to Peters, who was the coach who was fucking with him. Witnesses we told them about haven't been contacted. So in other words, he's saying that the NHL is sitting on this and they're not saying shit. And the investigation of Peters, they're saying in some places it's been completed. And they talked about next steps with the Leo's representative, but they're none. They don't want to go further than this. So this is just another layer of what we talked about early on with everything that's happening with the National Hockey League right now. The time of people being able to control situations and localize their actions to being able to fuck somebody or make somebody do as they will and not have any price to pay for it, that's coming short now because the big lights are shining on them. They are being exposed. They can't do business like their fucking Tim Hortons franchise in Kiss My Ass North Dakota or Kiss My Ass Alberta. They have to pay attention to this now.
It's definitely out there.
I say this because we all got into this business to some degree because we believe in objectivity and being able to present the facts, because we know facts kill bullshit. There's been no effort to really reach out and do facts on the part of the National Hockey League. The facts did them because it all came out when somebody dropped dime. It wasn't like they made an exerted effort to go out and say, okay, this is what we found. If they found out that that boy sucked somebody's dick 10 years ago, why did it take them 10 years to say so? So somebody wasn't in a hurry to divulge that information. And somebody wasn't in a hurry to look for it. In all honesty, I surely could be wrong, but doesn't that smell like that to y'all?
Well, they got shaved. Unfortunately, when something like this happens, it usually happens because somebody got shamed to it or somebody leaked something. And I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B here with this story. And there are more
that there are more layers to this.
Yeah, definitely more
layers. Also allowed, when you're allowed to do certain things,
yes,
you try to take it to the extreme. And I think they took it to the extreme.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's because, see, remember, like with Penn State, like with the U.S. gymnastic teams or whatever, there always has to be enablers. Some of them are media folks. Some of them are going to be folks from within the organization. And clearly, there was that on all sides here. And I think, you know, the sad thing is it could be, you know, it could be even bigger than even we all think. All that we've been.
I believe we have 17 teams.
Yep.
Trust me, I think there are more than that because it took 10 years to get this out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
In those 10 years, what happened in between those 10 years? You're telling me that Toronto, LA, or San Jose, or New Jersey, or New York Rangers ain't know about this?
Yeah. You know they had to know, Gary.
Gentlemen.
And that's a good question. Because, again, you got to ask about each of the teams that have won the Stanley Cup since. You know? If any of them are on that list that Gary has already dug up now, then we know there's even more meat in the sandwich to divulge. And the NHL may not like all this added attention they've had put on them. The contract and the games are one thing, but the games behind closed doors is another. There's some people whose behavior ain't going to just go away because they've always believed that they can get away with shit. So that will compound, and that rat will start to stink in some places, maybe a little bit more than others, but it's the control aspect that's the constant that we're going through here. If Fred Whitty can tell Reggie that he can't play unless he does right by him in the organization, Reggie's up shit's creek, you know? And that's what this thing is about. These young kids, and let's also add the maturity factor here, because when young brothers are playing football, they pretty much know what their life's going to be like, even if they get regimented in college if they get that far.
Mm-hmm.
When young kids play in the minors in hockey, it's a different story because some of them are already earning a living. Some of them are already getting a contract. You know, they're not going to be running on a 100-yard plantation. They're making money, you know, maybe Subway Sub and Tim Hortons Donuts money in comparison to some of the others, but they are making a salary. They're making a living. You know, it wasn't until recently basketball, you know, looked at that aspect with younger players, but football gets nothing. Matter of fact, in football, you were penalized if you were trying to get something. So this is a whole different mindset that runs in between young hockey players and young football players. Anybody else? Does that make sense to y'all?
Yeah, it makes sense. But here's my question, and I'm sure Professor can help me with this. Let's go back to the financial aspect, and I'm going with the NCAA. They just had the big ruling come out, and shout out to Coach Joe Taylor being one of the members of the NCAA selection committee. Let's look at Cincinnati, one of the lower tiers. They've already hot right now because they know they're easily going to be muscled out if they lose one more game. And the five fans is going to ease on invitation, you know. And Professor, you're the money man and everything, especially when it comes to HBCUs. Okay, we got the Celebration Bowl and maybe a few other things. In your opinion, with the five families and their bowls and their TV money, what can we do to start to hook up on a, even a lower level to start sharing the wealth without keep losing our HBCUs to Big South and maybe the CAA, which is trying to get Hampton and Howard to come in?
Well, first and foremost, in my humble opinion, there is no real advantage going with these white conferences. They don't bring crowds. White folks don't go to black people's house to be entertained. Okay? I forget which one of the schools it is, but, you know, we, you know, until the last couple of years, Ben's travel. Well, I saw a video of the band from one of the schools. It was suggested that if they showed up at A&T looking like that, they were going to get out of the place, and I agree. But it's just like when we go play, Pembroke or Catawba, they see red when we go there. But when they come to us, now I will give Pembroke a break, because a couple of years ago when they came, they actually delayed the game from Saturday night to Sunday afternoon. And even a lot of our students didn't show because we were stoned. But, you know, going back and looking at from the standpoint, I don't see where the HBCU is going to do any better in the Big South or whatever league they go to, because from what I'm seeing, where is the TV money coming from? I don't see it. You know, you don't see that many of these. I mean, the league that North Texas State plays, Conference USA. That's one of the
yeah.
During football season, they have a game on almost every night. You know, right. They're doing replays and whatnot. I think they do Thursday and Saturday live, two games live on Saturday. But even there, what our school, it was always this complaint about travel. My niece plays volleyball for Temple. Temple is in a league that last Friday, my sister got to see her granddaughter play live in Houston.
They were playing games,
so she got to see Kay play live. Okay, that same school that's located in Pennsylvania, I think Philadelphia.
Yep,
playing a team in Houston. They left Houston and flew to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's how they travel. It's like an hour, whatever, over to Louisiana to play another game that Saturday. They played Sunday afternoon, and then they flew back.
You would think, Fred, that they would let those players keep those frequent flyers so they could get a voucher for a ticket. But that's a whole other story. Patrick Ferraro's in the house. Patrick, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's up, Odell Beckham? How you doing, Odell?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, you talked to Odell Beckham dad lately?
his dad ain't talking to nobody.
He did his damage already. He got his kids kicked off the team.
Patrick, all is not done yet. All is not done. I called somebody about an hour ago. All is not done yet.
Let me ask this, Patrick, because Odell Beckham has been a rather enigmatic receiver for his time in the league.
Yep.
There have been times when he's done spectacular things, and there have been times where they're like, what the ham sandwich has he done? What's the likelihood of Beckham being waived? Because it's getting to a point where somebody's going to push and somebody's going to push.
They want something back from him. However, at this point, all things are possible.
What?
It could be waived.
Uh-huh.
Somebody can make a trade.
Late for that, Patrick. Didn't they trade deadline leave a couple of days?
Yeah, yeah, waivers is different in the NFL as opposed to the major league baseball.
Yeah. And really, to my knowledge of the team, he has a right for a gripe. Quite frankly. There's no doubt about that. There have been times he's been open. Anybody wants to concentrate in the last game where he drops some passes. He and one other man drops some passes. But there's
Landers,
times he's been wide open. There was a game against Minnesota where they won 14-7. He was so wide open. I mean, they could have landed a plane between him and the next guy next to him and didn't get the ball.
They can get that wing
Part of it is because I still don't think that Baker can give him the ball because Baker has some physical limitations now because that shoulder is worse than what you think. It's his left shoulder.
He always had a little, though. He didn't have the strongest arm in the league, no question.
Baker's at 25, 40 yards, he's good. 50, 60 yards, well, here's the bottom line. With Odell, you got to throw the ball and make him chase it.
That's
the thing. Because I was given Odell first start as a rookie. I was wondering who this kid was until I went to one of the practices. I'm going, damn, that kid's that fast? I mean, he chased down the ball. Well,
that's
his strength. And he's got his strength back. And I think, I know, he wants to test that now, being open to do just that. Because really, defensive backs are really, they can say what they want about him. But they're fearful of what he can do. That's why
when he
dropped on Sunday, they had 3 men running. Because they know, but they want that brother to get middle. We'll see what happens.
But Patrick, here's the thing, though. When y'all played against the Steelers, and I said, Mike Tomlin, please don't let your kicker throw a pass and get his block knocked off. I was, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But how devastating was that of a loss when the Steelers came in there and beat them last week?
It was bad. I mean, for the last 3 games, we've had 17 points, 10 points. I mean, and a lot of that, hey, don't put it on Beckham. Don't put it on Baker. Steve, the coach gotta be more daring too. I mean, of course, Chubb was on 2 games. That can be, but the brother, DeFrost, came back behind him, played well. That's the other side of Stefanski's approach in playing the game. Sometimes he'd get too controlling and too conservative. Right. And you got guys, you got playmakers out there. Let them play, but that's not how he runs. It's a run-centric team that is around play action passes, and everything evolves in that. When you have a guy who I can take the top off the defense, that might not work as well as it would seem. Perfect example, no guy named Diggs to play Minnesota. Where's he at now?
Uh-huh.
And Buffalo.
Right. Real quick, what does that say about Mike Tomlin? Not only getting the troops up, but also, even though he did, again, stretch his kick out, and I know Professor shook his head on that one, but how did
that
sit by Mike
Tomlin? That was a revenge game because they wanted to get back at them for, you know, knocking them out of the playoff last year. Embarrassing.
Yeah, I got to be real, man. The game, which I'm still pissed off about, when they lost, scored 42 points and lost, played their ass off, man. And that fourth and sixth play that he caught a touchdown pass against Harrison in the end zone, Harrison actually knocked the ball away from him, and the guy grabbed the ball and made
a pass.
I got to give him credit.
Yeah, the game
was
a charge.
So, you know, and we all know the goal of it, and defense is 17 points or less. Well, they scored 15 points. Well, where's the offense?
Yep.
Yeah, really.
Come on,
I'm not putting all on them. I think the coach has to be much more daring in a situation like that.
Yeah. Too. Hey, come on, Professor. I know you enjoyed that game, Professor. Come on now.
I didn't see it.
What? I did. How dare you? Being a Steelers fan and against the Browns? How dare you?
well, I'll see. See the first thing you got to consider when you say the Browns, you know, we play the Browns four times a year, two times once on the road is once in Cleveland, on the road is in Baltimore. So, you know, we beat both of them. What have we done? You know.
You got to talk about Western and Virginia State Union game.
but no, you know, because
I love Professor.
As I tell you all from time to time, I look at games a little different because I look from a statistical read, which is, you do a cartwheel and dunk the ball, hey, it's 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all this flash and flare, and okay, fine. You know, did the ball go through the upright, or did the ball hit upright
That's
go
the
through?
Question.
Or, are the referee's hands up or going from side to side? Because if it's
there
up,
you go.
I don't care what it did. He scored.
That's right.
If,
there you go.
If he went from side to side, hey, regroup. Try something
else.
Fred,
on my show for the last 20 years, the slogan of my show, open up and close up my show, was this statement. My show is called Old School Sports, where winning is more important than style points.
There you go. That's right. Well, right. You know, from old school to the new school, the truth is, if you take everything into effect, and you look to win at all costs, there could be deleterious effects behind that. The Chicago Blackhawks are proof of that. But when you take style to the nth degree, that can have deleterious effects as well. And I refer directly to the rug situation. Now, Patrick, you've been working for a front office. Tell me what happens when information like that hits your offices and what happens to the spin on that sense.
It goes straight to the owner, GM, first. And after the owner clears cussing, and call a man without his name, what are we going to do? Then they call the lawyers in. They have a meeting immediately. So the lawyers, owners, the GM, sit down, and then they call the press guy in to say it right or put it how they want. Or put it how they wanted to get it started, and that's where it goes from there. If concerning rug, what the hell are you going on 156 miles? 156 miles a car. Where are you going?
Yeah,
I mean this ain't the Autobahn in Germany, Las Vegas, bro. What are you doing? You know, come on. You know, being around these guys, professor guys for a long time, I gotta be upfront. And like life, anything else, they gotta be professional. Some guys just don't get it.
Yep.
And I'll leave it at that.
They never will.
You're right.
You got ready for prime time. Some folks will never be ready for prime time.
I want to start a new segment, gentlemen, on this show. And Tony and I were kicking this about earlier. It seems apropos that the first episode be done regarding one of Gary's favorite subjects. Now, y'all remember, you grew up, that Marvel comic What If came out with all kinds of wild scenarios like, what if Captain America was a Nazi sympathizer? You know, shit like that. And we think the NFL is just as interesting a place for as many possible stories on that line. So Soldier Radio and the Royal will now do their first episode of What If. And the first What If, we have to genuflect to our brother Gary Gray, because the first one will be, what if Al Davis became the commissioner of football instead of Pete Mozelle? So let's remember, we're back in the middle 60s. We've already decided that
We're going to have to do something about a merger because the AFL is whipping our ass now. So they're going to sit down and smoke the peace pipe. But instead of Pete Rozelle being named, Al Davis gets the call. So, Gary, since this is in your wheelhouse, you start. What do you think would happen if Al Davis was commissioner?
Number one, he wouldn't be the evil empire of football. That's his birthday. Number two, the Raiders would have won two more Super Bowls. Number three.
Yeah, I can see Al handing the trophy to himself.
Number three, the game in Pittsburgh.
Uh-oh.
Game in New England. Well, different endings. Those are my 4 foot and Al Davis. We have moved the Miami Dolphins into the east. Into the south and moved Indianapolis where it's supposed to be in the central.
Interesting. Okay. Professor, we already called you out on the immaculate. So if Al Davis is commissioner and he decides that something different is in effect, how do you react to that? Do you think it would actually happen?
What happened? One player for the Raiders.
Whether or not an official would have ruled that if you could touch the ball, then the play would be null and void.
Well, what is there to discuss? Because they didn't have replay back then.
And
because of the officials doing their job, the kind of stuff I look at in that situation, there's a lot of space. I mean, you know, yes he did, no he didn't, you know,
right.
Depending on what color jersey you had on that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Al Davis in place, though, one of the more flagrant ones that I think that ever happened was the Renfro catch in the end zone with Houston.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
It's still hot about that.
I mean, I think the Steelers were going to win anyway, but
yep.
That catch, you know,
yep.
How could, you know. But see, this is why I've always told you all. You control games through officials.
Yeah.
More recently, we had a situation on the sideline. One team was going in, was driving. There was an obvious to everybody but the three officials on that side of the field. And then it was obvious to everybody but those three that, okay, there was a foul. One of you should have thrown at least one of you, but realistically, all of y'all should have thrown a flag. But all three of you decided to, what's the term they use? Eat their flags. They should still be chewing on them.
Yep.
Because that's how obvious it was. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
But on the real, I think if Al Davis had been commissioner,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of the changes that we've seen over 40 years now?
Yes. Uh-huh.
40 so years. I think some of those changes would have been faster because other than screwing over Eldridge Vickery,
mm-hmm.
Al Davis, you know, Al Davis was out fronting a lot of stuff racially.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think he was a weirdo, but at the same time, he hired the first, you know, he was one of the first to have black quarterbacks. First to hire a coach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think he was still in charge of the Raiders when I think he had a black general manager. He did some positive things. And I think the games would have been livelier because he was one of the ones that came up in the AFL, and their games were a little more wide open.
I agree. Trust me.
He was one of the ones along with the Hunt and some of the others who went out and got black players when the NFL was still going. Well, we don't know. We can put them colored people in there with all these white boys. And if we get them Negroes in here, where are the white boys going to play? He was in that kind of area. I think he was out front on a lot of things.
I just
wish he'd have stuck with his guns and let Elder Dickey do what he could do, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was talking about, you know, we were talking about the situation in Pittsburgh and how they had a black
Joe.
Quarterback.
He used to live in Tennessee,
and he knew the Gilliams and all that kind of stuff, and he explained, a lot of people don't talk about this, but there were some family issues going on with the Gilliams, because I think Joe's sister jumped off a building on Tennessee State's campus.
Whoa.
And committed suicide. And he was saying, because I've always found it curious, you know, this whole elevation of Terry Bradshaw. Uh-huh. He said, but if you go back and look, they not only benched Gilliam, at one point, Terry Hanratty, for a quick minute, as starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And you see, the reason was, quiet as it was kept, Gilliam had some issues, some drug issues before he left Tennessee State.
Uh-huh.
And they not only tried to hide it in Pittsburgh, they tried to help him. But if you know anything about drugs and addictions, until a person decides they truly want to be helped, you can help them.
Yeah,
and that
no
was
question.
What happened there. And so, there were several like-minded. Now, I cannot explain Pittsburgh in the modern era, because they had at one point two black quarterbacks, and one of them probably ended up going into space before he really becomes a starter, but he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot, you see, when it comes to people like Davis and some of the others, all they need is somebody. They don't want to be out front. Davis would have took the steps necessary, and I'm saying this good stuff about a Raider. I'm gonna have to repent after this.
Professor Franco has online too from the Immaculate Reception, so come on now.
Having said that, Patrick, Tony, what do you think?
Look at it this way. That was the first time you heard anybody say anything about putting your hand under the ball when you catch it.
Yep.
That's right. And the rest is history. Because somewhere they
found an angle of that catch where he actually has his hand under the ball. But they don't. It's not a wide shot. You know. Patrick, you know more about media and
Fred, I guarantee you the folks down in Cherry Hill got that tape and they don't want it out. I'll leave it at that.
The referee asked him. He said, "Hey, how much law enforcement you got here? Not enough to overturn that call."
Well, Mike, concerning the Al Davis on money, and again, the greatest one is not letting the Lord's Prayer pray for the NFL. Being around a lot of Raiders that I know between Jack and Neil Cozy and Morris Bradshaw and some other guys, one thing that Raiders did do, and just piggybacking what Fred said, he kept a lot of brothers around the team.
Yes, he did.
Not just guys just, you know, coming to games. He hired a bunch of brothers around the team.
Yes, he did.
And
the regular special company, they wouldn't have to worry about pulling any
Jack Cannon was the one that made sure uniform was tight.
And what's my man?
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Patrick, it's amazing. Jack Cannon was the one to make sure the uniforms were sitting right. I still couldn't figure that one out.
That's true. After Prince Flame. One of my brothers, Morris Bradshaw. Was a team executive. Also, Morris Bradshaw was involved with the stadium operation. I mean, he kept brushing around
that.
All the time.
That's right.
Okay? So one of my partners, Big Bob Brown, who went to Ohio State, he was working out in California with Morris Bradshaw with the Raiders and the stadium. So he kept brushing around. I think some things like this would have been propelled a little bit earlier than it had been. Also, but the difference between Al Davis and Roselle was a prime time personified PR person out of New York.
Yes.
And
yes.
had the wherewithal in terms of how to promote the game. He knew the people on Madison Avenue from years past, because that's where he came from. And that's really
true.
What propelled the league in terms of his image and how we carry the image to move forward. So I think that's the biggest. I think structurally, Al would have done some things differently that maybe propelled the game a little better. Like you said, there'd have been no Tuck rule. That's for goddamn sure. Please.
When he kept the overhead projectors and not been modernized like everybody else, when he kept the overhead projectors.
They're important. But I think
I like that.
That's a difference.
Good stuff on that, Patrick. Good stuff on that. Tony, what do you think? What would the light be with Chairman Al handling this instead of Roselle? Are you there?
Yep.
T, got a picnic set? Okay. So what would life be like with Chairman Al running things instead of Roselle, had he been commissioner?
I kind of think there would have been more HBCU players, even more
true.
So, because of, you know, them and KC, what have you. But I think there would have been more of an influence of them, and you might have seen a few more. You might have had a few more coaches, black coaches, as well. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, that's basically what the whole that was the whole crux of Roselle versus Davis. Davis always felt like, you know, he should have been the commissioner, and I think he always held that against Pete Roselle. up until I guess he passed away, because they finally did have sort of a olive branch, whatever. Yeah, definitely. I think it definitely would have been more. It would have been more of an. I think we would have seen, because, you know, to their credit, during that period of time from like say 67 till about say the 80s or so, you know, you saw it was a big number, but I think the number would have been even bigger.
I think everybody gave me some good stuff for the pot. The one thing I would add is the fact that Al would have recognized after the merger the worth of the AFL. We would have had players.
I ain't giving nothing, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Reggie. Come on with it.
No, I would think that the TV money and maybe some advertisement might have been different with Al Davis.
Okay.
Because he was like Jerry Jones.
Do you think he would have changed the Super Bowl rotations? Would he have made everybody eligible for rotation instead of just a few warm weather cities?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
No.
Mike,
I can say that because, I did a program, and Maverick, we still show it, even though it's about 10 years old, we still show it every Super Bowl because it had an insight of what the Super Bowl is about. I did a show at a lecture that the NFL let me film at St. Pete's University in Jersey City an hour and 20-minute talk with Paul Tagliabue. Laid out what the Super Bowl was. Well, Tagliabue was from Jersey City. He went to school over in Union City. And, of course, he went to Georgetown. And, the rest is history. And I got a chance to speak to him about it. And they gave us okay to do the show, to show it. And that was, we didn't have to pay for anything like that. But he talked about how his whole thing was to make the Super Bowl a holiday. And guess what they've done? Made it a holiday.
Right. It's pretty much been there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Al would have that kind of vision in that regard. He has other things he'd do, but I don't think, he has the promotional.
I think there's some meat in the sandwich, Patrick. I would agree with that. But in addition to the stuff that everybody chipped in with, the one thing that I think Al Davis would have definitely influenced is how the rest of the AFL and their exploits would have been treated. Otis Taylor would not be dying and not still in the Hall of Fame, as well as other players. He would have made sure that all the greats that he played with and against in the AFL would have had a fair shot at getting in. We know that there are still a lot of American Football League players like Ken Riley right now, the Rattler.
Thank God, please.
And Indianapolis Cincinnati with their bitch ass media, they're not even acknowledging him. They've got Munoz, and only because Munoz was so dominant over everybody else did he get in. They haven't talked about Ken Anderson or Lamar
Curtis.
Or Isaac Curtis. Yeah, exactly.
And even Ken Anderson.
Nothing. This is something that Al would have saw. Al would have remembered these players, and Al would have remembered that these guys would have been worthy of mention. See, Rizal, he was pretty much bottom line, let's make money, fuck all that other noise and stuff like that. Now that we brought all this out, do you think Al Davis would have made the Super Bowl an international game? In other words, would he take it out of New York
or
take it to war?
No.
I think you would have.
Speaking of commissioners, gentlemen, know because of COVID how much money that Roger Dome made last year. Do you know how much he made last year?
I don't want to even know. It's so obscene. Yeah. It's so obscene. How much? I think it's like
last year due COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
1 year made $128 million.
Oh fuck me! Get the fuck out of here.
That was in the Wall Street Journal.
Might put it this way: even Matthew Stafford is calling the police, saying somebody is stealing more money than him.
I told you guys last week. Did I tell you over 453 people? We got 453 more billionaires than last year.
Yes, you
and
did.
He made $128 million last year through COVID.
Okay, so look at this. Look at it this way. All right, now we've got Aaron Rodgers sidelined. He's on the protocol for COVID, which means for the next 10 days he's out, which means he may miss two games. So how much money does that equate to in action, knowing that they may bet because they think they might be able to get over with Kansas City as a favorite, or they may not bet because the line may not be juicy enough to entice action? What do you guys think?
Oh,
well, it'll have a factor because see that was your doubleheader game. I'm thinking now they're gonna I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but you gotta figure that another game is gonna be the another game because that was CBS. I think that was CBS's game of the week.
Right.
Leading up to Sunday. I take it back. I'm sorry. That's a Fox. That's a Fox game. I'm sorry. That's a Fox game.
Okay.
Mike, it all boils down to all these sports shows, which I turn off. I have to, because I'm trying to get information, but I have to turn it off. From quarterbacks. Did the quarterback wipe his ass today? Did his mama go to the bathroom and use the right toilet paper? Everything can all to drive betting. Now, what's going to be particular of interest that you bring this up? What? How much money is going to be another line? How much money or how well is Jordan Love going to play? And how the betting line is going to be what he does? Then, then whether he loses or not, will he throw over 20 pants? They're going to bet on that. Would he throw two touchdowns? Would he bet on that? That's what forget winning it, win the game. They know Jordan Love ain't gonna win, but that's where the betting line could augment.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, Tony. Tell them what happened. We were trying to find out the over on Vegas Insider.
Oh, good Lord, we're watching the
daily wager.
Put it this way. I put in, I'm doing a Google search on Vegas Insider, and it basically takes me to the DraftKings site. Now the DraftKings site was Coolio's song "Gangsta's Paradise." This was a degenerate bettor's paradise because I'm trying to get the over on the Chiefs.
Arizona and Green Bay.
I was having the Chiefs Giants game, and it was 58, by the way, so they weren't even close.
Wow.
It basically had prop bet. It had I'm going to the Chiefs Giants game. I'm thinking they'll have the over and under.
Yeah.
They have prop bets for each wide receiver, for each running back, and defenses as to who's going to do this, who's going to do that.
Having all those quarterbacks on throw.
I mean, it's like. Is there anything information wise here about the fucking game?
No way.
It's literally. But remember, when everything first came out, oh no, we're not gambling. It's a game of skill.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You believe that? Yeah, you believe that, and I believe that Mr. Farrakhan has a steak in the McRib sandwich too. While you're there.
Oh, really? hey, Eric, what's the fallout with the Green Bay Packers quarterback situation? I know Vegas is like, oh shit.
Don't prop bet that bad boy. Reggie, you ain't actually going to bet that George Lev going to outplay Mahomes. Wait. We ain't having Mike White twice in 1 week. Okay.
That's right.
That ain't happening.
It's amazing Aaron Rodgers claimed he was inoculated. What the hell that means? The bitch didn't get no shots. I mean, come on, man.
Reds, we got to remember Colin Powell got both shots too, and look where he is.
No shit, and his ass is dead. They don't know which did it, but he got shot. Aaron Rodgers messing the money up now. I mean, I can see them right now. Come on, Patrick. I know there's some hot people that found out he won't play.
Oh yeah, but hot people. But you know something? The game will go on, and they'll still make money. The position that Green Bay is in now is good. I mean, they're playing well. They can lose a game now. Tell you, if we watch these, this is why, I don't pay the quarterbacks no mind for the most part because they get on my damn nerves. What's the team construct? That's what you got to look at.
Patrick, think about what the team could generate in terms of action. All right, let's say all play for the same team here. Okay.
Right.
What's the line on Fred? If Fred gets 2 sacks in a game, what's the odds on that?
If Reggie recovers the fumble, what's the odds on that? If Gary catches X number of passes, if Tony throws for X number of yards, all of these things are prop bets. So you can make a prop bet out of anything. You know, how many times will Michael Ingram say, motherfucker, you know, during the course of the game? You know,
Mike, could you just say it two more times? Because I really need that extra pair of shoes.
Tony, wait and say, how many times can we really get the feeling and the emotion of Mike saying he ain't shit? You know,
that's right.
Mike, I need that three more times. By the way, I need enough to get enough money to get the left shoe, but I got to get enough money to get the right shoe.
But see, that's just it. You if you're getting the action you want, you don't even give a fuck who wins. You're just enjoying the fact that you can get it from wherever it comes from. You know, yeah, your girlfriend be looking at you, baby, what happened? Your team lost. Yeah, they did. You know.
All of a sudden, it's a bashing of pronouns. We, they, it, and
exactly.
Us.
Ain't no pronoun trouble going on here. Exactly. Patrick,
Mike, yeah, go on.
Yes,
go on.
Back to the top of the hour again and whatnot, and of course, you know, you know about the Ruggs deal. What else can you say about this that would fly in the face of common sense? Because everybody knows it's a tragedy, but everybody knows there's stupidity mixed in here. And do we call this kid out on this stupidity?
In the words of my daddy, God love us, sweet love and soul in heaven. I miss him every day.
Amen.
What he said, amen. Boy, uh-oh. Common sense ain't coming.
Come on.
So if you keep that in mind, it covers all the aspects of his behavior and how he was thinking. Common sense in comedy. No matter what your stature in life, how many degrees you got, how much intellect that you're supposed to display, if you ain't got common sense, we're all.
Yeah. How bad they gonna nail his ass with the dog getting killed in an accident? You know they gonna get him for that.
Oh, yeah, dog one wasn't personal.
Lassie's gone. You can forget that. That shit is a wrap. The only thing he can do is hope that he hasn't spent all his bonus money. Because remember, he was taken first round, 12th overall. So his bonus money has to be somewhere between $2 and $5 million. Whatever he has there, he better put that shit away, because they will take that bad boy. If he can find a way to hide it in an annuity or something like that, he better get on the case, because whatever dreams he had, they'll steal them shits from him, too, for what he did.
It's done. So, Mike, I want to hit you with this. We're talking about prop bets. And we're talking about equity in terms of looking at athletes and what they mean. One of the worst things in terms of what they have with their elections this year, particularly here in Jersey, it talks about, you know, citizens being taxed. We're one of the most taxed states, or the most taxed. We got the highest amount of taxes outside of New York of any place in the country. Now, one of the lowest states in the country that has taxes is Mississippi. And with that in mind, your friend and mine, Brett Favre, got $108 million of tax money to do what? Big engagement to a company in Mississippi.
I remember
his
that.
Problem.
Yes.
He didn't go take none of these speakers. He didn't do any speakers.
No.
He got his ass got busted, and now he got to give back the money. Well, they hit
that
shit for 6 months. So
he sure did.
Got busted, and he found it out. So when people start talking about, you know, if that had been, wait a minute, if that had been Ray Lewis,
oh God!
That'd have been Lord have mercy. If that'd been Michael Strahan,
come on!
And Lord have mercy if it had been, you know, my man with Seattle SuperSonics, or the running back.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have hung him in effigy. So So, I mean, these things go on, and like I said, the media once again will crucify who they want to crucify to make things look good instead of the folks who deserve it.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Gary, before we get the final thoughts, we hear what happened to this kid, Ruggs. We've heard what's happened earlier on, how everything's been rolling. How would that have handled itself if they were still back in Oakland?
Well, number one, he wouldn't have been in Nevada.
Oh, I think.
The rules, the laws in Nevada are different than the laws in California.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have got like, 1 or 2 years of probation and played it out.
Wow.
But because Nevada has a stronger drug driving rules, he's in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Nevada's strongly comparative conservative next to California, definitely, yes.
Put butter on him now because he's done.
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
right.
So if he had been an Oakland Raider in Oakland, California during all of this, it would have been a minor incident, although, you know, we're not trying to make light out of somebody losing their life.
Like, he died, but overall, it would have been a lesser punishment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They would have downgraded it. The charge would have been downgraded. You know, now, whether it happens to the dog, in whatever years they add on for killing Lassie, they might get him there. But, yeah, it would definitely be different from a standpoint of legislation and stuff and being able to find somebody guilty of something. So that is a big difference. But, Professor, you said it yourself. You're talking about how doing stuff and the price it comes with makes a big difference. You know, everybody's speeded. I mean, I'll speak for myself now. I'll check that. I've speeded a couple of times. No question about that. On the Autobahn, I sped several times. But everybody else was speeding, so it was all right. But if you're in an environment where that's not condoned and it leads to tragedy like that, There's no way you worm your way out of that. You can't extricate yourself from something like that. You know, you surely can't say like some white kid did that he had influenza, so he had I'm a white kid flu. You know, he gonna say you have black influenza? No. Your black ass is going to jail. You already know that.
That's
shit.
That's what they gonna say.
or Mike, the dreaded I have split personalities. Well,
regardless of punishment, we already know this is what's going to happen to him. Does this wake everybody else the fuck up and make them realize, I better back the fuck up? Yeah, I'll be lined up at Uber in a hot minute.
Excuse me, Mike. You know what? No. Temporarily, it will. But see, I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
Remember when you know, Magic got AIDS, and they said, oh, this is going to change the lifestyles of all the NBA players.
Right.
In about 2 minutes.
I think maybe for what, a year, maybe six months.
Yeah.
It was back to bump and grind. So
you're right.
So and unfortunately, we have heard of guys speeding or whatever. You know, the first thing I remember, you know, it's funny when I heard the story. One of the first things I remember, because I actually was living in Carolina at the time, was when Bobby Phills, the former guard for the Hornets,
mm-hmm.
him and David Wesley, you know, had a speeding thing, and it cost Phills his life.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the car crash.
Wesley was never the same after that. I mean,
he was playing with the Nets at the time, too. Wesley didn't play with the Nets for a while.
Yeah.
I remember that well.
He's a good guy, you know.
He was.
Yeah, that's what made it even more. But see, again, it's like you gotta know better. You just gotta know better. That's all.
And gentlemen, you know, as you all know, I got a thing against drunk drivers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Lost a dear relative and a couple of friends to drunk drivers. There's a certain bias to what I'm about to say, but people don't learn.
You're right.
Whether it's race, whether it's drinking and driving, all kinds of stuff. We were involved in the pandemic this summer, and this gentleman, wouldn't let the police break the window on his car. So his child died in a hot car because he left the keys in it.
Dumbass.
And they still, get this, and they still ended up busting the window out of the car to get in because he couldn't afford a locksmith. Okay?
Jesus.
But his child is just as dead. Because, the temperature rises almost 10 degrees for every 90 seconds.
That's right.
When your car is exposed under the sun. And, people have all kind of jacked up priorities or lack thereof and all these other things. And, when I first saw that, I was like, wait a minute, he did what? I didn't even call him out for being a raider. I just said, that don't make no sense. You are on a public highway.
Which means
you are public, it's everybody's street. It's not just yours. Everybody's necessarily going the same way. Although, in this case, it sounds like he ran up behind her and hit her from behind.
He did.
That's what he did. That's what caused the fire, hitting the gas tank of the truck.
Right. And the gas tank on her car probably ignited because the motor on his car.
It's exploded.
And it's amazing that he even got out of a Corvette unless he had the top down.
Well, the girlfriend got out. She got out because of the door. The door was jammed, and she got out of the side.
You're right about the Corvette, because that wheelbase is only 5 inches. So if it hit something...
Is it still made of fiberglass?
Remember, a Corvette, the nose of a Corvette is like an arrow. It's going underneath the car. Because I've actually seen a couple of them run under the back of tractor trailers. How can you run into something that big in front of you?
Yep.
I was going faster than they were.
That's right.
Well,
that's the only answer.
Why didn't you quit clean? This is another one of those situations where you say people just don't learn. I'm allowed to drink and drive, which in most states you are allowed to drink and drive. But what you drink can get you locked up.
That's where
we are with that, because in this situation, like I said, basically she never stood a chance.
Nope. She ain't no ahead of.
And as fast as they say he was going, once you pass 80 in the United States, you have no excuse.
That's right. Thank you.
Because here in North Carolina, you can drive 70 on several highways we have here. You can do 70. In a couple of cases, I think you can do 75.
You can do 75. You can do 75 in Montana and in North Dakota. I know because I drove through both of those states. Yes, you can do.
And you and me. A black man driving through them states? Gary, you still alive?
Well, you and me.
That's the best way for a black man to go through those states, driving.
Actually, I do one better. Flying over top of
he was trying to find a place where there's some black people, for one thing, and the other reason he was going that fast was trying to keep from freezing.
Where the white women at? Where the white women at?
He ain't got to worry about being cold now, because he going to be ice for a long fucking time. Ain't no doubt about that shit.
Yeah. And don't forget Lassie. When they get finished with Lassie, boy.
Oh, please. That's right. And you know what?
That's real talk.
What's nasty about this? If we see a piece from fucking PETA or any of those other animal rights organizations, you know where it's coming, from. Because they always, they're attention whores. They take stock of every situation that's happened.
Oh yeah, Mike. Have you heard the latest? You know, they're petitioning Major League Baseball to not call it the bullpen anymore.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. And see, for once, the media is sort of like saying, "Fuck these guys." You know, I mean, sometimes you just have to, you know,
about
sometimes you just have to literally just be like, you know.
Okay.
Exactly.
And all their petering, have they gotten rid of bullfighting or rodeo riding?
The greyhound dogs down in Miami?
I always respected the Queen of Soul before, but I'll never forget the time, I guess, when one of the petered people tried to come up to her. And I guess he either pimp slapped her or something like that.
When they had the fur situation, Tony,
yes, sir.
When they had the anti-fur thing, somebody tried to do that to some sister and her fox coat, and she whooped the fuck out of this chick.
This shit been in layaway for 5 years. What the hell is wrong with you?
Aretha, God bless her soul, had a ghetto flashback and opened up several cans of whoop ass on that woman.
She rocked steady on that ass. I know that's right.
Mark, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, get the fuck away from me.
take this respect to the ass whooping I'm giving you. Bobby snatching
right
out of hair, Mr. Whooping that ass.
No lie.
Gentlemen, this will
God
take us to final thoughts, and I want to give everybody credit for really and commending you for having a chance to throw something in the pot tonight. This was unfortunately a sadder one, and it's just as important that we commiserate and get together and make sure this stuff is made clear to the world at large when shit is not going right as opposed to when it is. Matter of fact, this is where we need what we produce out here, because we know if they get any kind of chance, they will slap white supremacy all over this and take this in another fucking direction. This was foolish act. It was a stupid act, and we got to call it for what it is. We do that across the board. Stupid is stupid. So, sadly, it's going to cost somebody their life, but, you know, we move on. Having said that, Reggie, please open things up for a final thought.
Well, of course, we know the big race in Virginia where Terry McCullough and the Democrats show their true cracker colors. The quote, Charlamagne, the crackers. And we had Tim Kaine and I love it. I love it. Anyway,
segregation tomorrow, segregation forever.
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, Senator Tim Kaine should never go to another black church. Not only did he get together with his cracker-ass friends here in Richmond, Virginia, to defeat Kathy Hughes and her casino deal, but also he did not have replacement. And, oh, by the way, this is the same clan servative Dixiecrats, who kind of caricatured Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor. And, oh, yes, go ahead and put another nod in it. This is the same people who handpicked certain individuals. I'm not mad that 13% of black men voted Republican. I'm not mad that Democrats got their ass whooped. I'm not mad at all because, hey, Republicans in Virginia, not only did they put Winston Sears on the poster, but when Donna McEachern ran back in the day, no black face on the Democratic side. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, no black face on the Democrat side. But also the Republicans will say, why in a ham sandwich should we sit back and let you guys get all the glory when we can show you that we can undergo the white supremacy and racism, but we can also show you how to kick some ass. So, Democrats, I want to thank you, but I want to be incompetent, putting money, and I know I'm going a little long, Mike. I apologize, but I just want to say this.
Take your time.
Thank you,
take
Democrats,
your time.
For once again playing checkers while Republicans play chess. Not only have you shown that you do not want to have a dialogue, but you just told black folks, take your ass and sit on the counter because you are our whores.
That's right.
You are our whores.
That phrase needs to be changed. They're playing check. They're playing chess. They're playing Candyland, basically.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're doing.
That's right.
They're playing fucking Candyland. It's not even trying to win elections anymore. And we got Sleepy Joe Biden and all these other crackers running around here trying to say we are there for everybody. Get the fuck out of here. So, Democrats, I want you to sing Tennessee Whiskey. Tennessee Whiskey, Lord, Tennessee Whiskey. Taste sweet as strawberry wine. God bless you. God bless America.
We need Nina Simone to be giving us a new song now. Virginia, God
damn. Virginia, God damn. Yes, indeed. Add that one to the front, to the playlist. Okay. Patrick, come on in, brother.
I'm going to give you two final thoughts. One, I'm going to give credit to Stephen A. Smith and what they did for showing Florida A&M's brand new amphitheater last week.
Yeah.
They did a nice job. I got to give it to them. And anything that's going to help expose folks to a different perspective and viewpoint of looking at black excellence, I'm all for. And they did a very nice job. But also, we have a first. We have a first.
Yes.
A young lady named Kelsey Kushner. And she went to a very proud university here in Princeton, and she was an athlete. But she was an athlete of a different kind. She was a sister that was on Princeton's hockey team. Yes, indeed. She became an All-American. She was a first-round draft pick in the Women's Hockey League, and she had a wonderful career. But she's become, since retired, she's become the first female hockey coach in the country at Arcadia College of Massachusetts. I got to give her big-time credit because I know what she went through being a sister on the court on that ice, and she
told
herself to the kind of trajectory where she's at now. Big props to her, Kelsey Kushner.
Most definitely big props to Sister Gal up there. And Massachusetts, just like Minnesota, has always been a hotbed of collegiate hockey with the Frozen Four up there coming out of that tournament most of the times in the New England area. Professor, please come on in.
Well, let me open on a very high note and say congratulations to Sonia Stills, who is the new commissioner of the MEAC.
All right.
She takes over January 1, 2022, and she is being tasked with resurrecting the MEAC, which is pretty much on life support at the moment. I hear she has some pretty good ideas and some things are floating around. And so I've worked with her before. As we like to say, she good people. The other thing I wanted to say was, I think I texted Reggie yesterday and said, because I've been texting since last week about this.
Okay.
And my analogy was, the Republicans were, the Democrats were shooting marbles, and the Republicans were shooting dice.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point, black folks got to learn.
Yep.
You know, we were talking about drunk drivers and all that other stuff before, but you know, at some time, even with this political thing, sometimes we can be punch drunk or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, but at some time we got to learn how to play both sides against the middle and get what we want. And actually, because realistically, if black folks in some states voted Republican, they could dominate the Republican Party.
Yeah.
But we won't do it because here's the line from the Democrats. Well, you know, we've been y'all friends since back in the 60s. We gave up both of them Kennedy boys and a few other white boys,
yeah,
and good old Democrats for y'all. And, you know, come on.
Yeah.
That's not how politics is played anyway. But maybe they grow up. And finally, we'll be getting more into this because I just made contact with a gentleman yesterday. But we have somebody else that's coming on board. The book on HBCU men's basketball is coming along. I ran into another pot of information, so I got to find a way to work that in and work on that after I get through talking to y'all in a little bit.
All right.
But you know, we still got to tell our own story, no matter what it is. And the more we keep telling our stories, the more you find out there are people out there who want to help tell that story. And we're going to be launching the actual HBCU Heritage Center movement starting in January, going into Black History Month. So we're going to do some big things. And Mike, I'm still going to get something to you in the next couple of days. I'm trying to keep there's a certain Aggie I'm trying to keep from killing because I don't have to fight his mama.
That's right.
She's my favorite niece, but he ain't my favorite nephew. So that's kind of how it goes.
I understand, but
she declared herself my favorite niece. So
there you go. www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, T-shirts, bric-a-brac, knowledge, all that good stuff. You know, Christmas is coming. We ain't hit Black Friday yet, but make sure y'all get that Black Sports Encyclopedia. Yes, the revised edition will definitely be in effect, perfect for on the Christmas tree or the coffee table. I'm going to get one my damn self. Having said that, Big G, come on in, slap something in the pot.
The NCAA told you what they think about small school this weekend. Told you what they thought, how respected they are for small schools. Alabama is 7-1. Oregon is 7-1. Ohio State is 7-1. Doesn't matter. Cincinnati, they know. And they're telling you Cincinnati numbers in the country, which tells all small schools, like my school, as I do, you ain't, you know what? And the NCAA is so bogus. It's so two-faced. We know what they want. They want a Georgia-Alabama championship.
Yep.
A Michigan State-Ohio championship. That's what they want. And you better get you. We don't care about you. That's the NCAA. There we go. At 1 o'clock Saturday, there'll be no music box.
Okay.
What?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys.
What?
That's right. T is incredulous. All right. No Music Box Sunday. But the Great Leopard Code will be back Saturdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 on the Pacific Coast. Thank you, G. T-Mac, drop something in the pot, please.
I am besmirched. but I'll move on. Okay.
Thank you. No problem.
What does Eric Adams and the Brooklyn Nets have in common? Well, for those of you uninitiated, the Democrat he won 65% of the vote last in the New York primary yesterday, one of the things he said during an interview was that he would possibly review the city's vaccine mandate, which currently requires employees at certain indoor establishments in the city to be vaccinated.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so after hearing that, Steve Nash, everybody's favorite coach, basically just said, yeah, we'd be open to having Kyrie rejoin the team if they alter the COVID vaccination mandate. To quote the Canadian Bacon Man, I might be speaking out of turn, but I think if the mandate changes, he'd be welcome back for sure, courtesy of SNY. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. So Frederick Douglass Irving may be able to come back and play before this year is over with, depending on how the elections go. So again, stay tuned.
Well, you may have a problem with Adams because I remember when he was the head of the Guardians, which was the Black Police Union, and how he has steadily moved up. Became a borough president. Now he's running for mayor. I can't say if it's a good thing or a bad thing yet, but the fact that he's jumped this many hoops to get this far leads me to believe that there might be some sabotage at the end of this, because anytime you do that, you got to pay somebody back. You got to pay somebody back. I mean, that's what basically Ed Koch did. He paid back the realtors. And he turned New York into one of the most expensive cities in North America. So stay tuned. Because as they used to say,
are you suggesting there's quid pro quo here?
I'm talking about Mr. Quid, Mr. Pro, and Ms. Quo.
Well, Mike, there's only one way that this can be stopped. The Penguin must run for mayor of New York.
All right. Go Penguin.
Yes, Oswald Cobblepot must be in the house. But you know
no,
what?
And Mike, remember, no mudslinging.
Well, you know, it was important that we cover some of these subjects. Some were initiated by us, and some, of course, we gave our own take on because they had already been in effect. Now, as far as bringing forth the information and making sure that it goes to the right people and that it's accurate, you know, I think we've all endeavored to do that. You know, we're coming close to 1,500 shows now, over 9 years, just in this form. I'm not counting all the stuff I did in Canada or the stuff we did on the Bachelor Pad. But for this show, almost 1,500 shows in, we're still trying to make sure that everything gets said like it's supposed to be said. And once that information is out, it's up to y'all to do what you do with it. Now, we've been on this hockey thing just like we were on the nonsense in Penn State. And I just think it is the most heinous of crimes that, you know what, if you're consenting adults, do what the fuck you want. I don't give a fuck. Let the freak flag fly proudly. But you don't do that shit to a kid. And you don't take control of a kid
by forcing them to do that. So all of this shit that's happening now in the NHL, they will do their best to sanitize it as best they can. But when you have these kind of individuals in their mindsets, you know, somebody's going to fuck up somewhere. And the shit's going to sift out. And whether it be because of arrogance or greed, you know, there'll be plenty for folks to feast on when shit hits fan. All I'm saying now is when that hits and when that bullshit is served, don't forget the greed.
Butch, where is that cat?
Oh, Harold. Where is he since yesterday?
Oh, Timothy. Been days since that cat's been gone. Days.
Here, Sabretooth, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Oh. Come on, stupid. This is the payoff. Why, it's Butch. And here's your reward, my good dog.
And here's your reward, you wonderful creature, you.
Here's your reward, dog.
How mortifying.
How mortifying.
It's the saber-toothed alligator. Here's your reward.
Now, I'm set for life. I'll never be hungry again. Acres and acres of meat, and they're mine. All mine. A distinct case of overeating, Doctor.
This time we didn't forget the gravy.
No. No.
That's all, folks.